and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner. I'm here with Sean Bell.
Hello.
Matt Murray.
Hello there.
And that's it, isn't it? It's the TCGS crew.
Back we to the would original like lineup.
To... Yeah.
Yeah.
The OGs.
Let's go. Let's start the show by thanking our Patreon producers for this month. And we've got a couple of new Full Nelson members to welcome to the crowd. But let's go through them all. Aaron Patrick, the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights for Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gasman, Rocketman76, Grey Dragon Claw, Smooth Monkey, Richard Sawyer, John Tempelli, Jackie Sniper, Sam Higton, Tom S., Stan, Philip with an F, Fred Fenge, John the Nelsmeister Nelson, Ryan Cobain, Stephen the Nuke Littler, happy birthday for Tukey, and now for the two new Full Nels members. Cutie and happy birthday TCGS, love Major PDD, hashtag TCGSCon24, a new Full Nelson.
Is that Cutty? Yeah, I think it's Cutty, isn't it?
Oh, Cutty.
Yeah, do you want to start again from the top?
Sorry.
No, we'll just refund them. Just refund the...
Aaron Patrick, Cutty, is it? Oh, Cutie.
Well, there's two T's, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you think that was just Matt doing a typo? Oh, Matt's got it wrong again. I'll just
spell cutie wrong.
I just can't read. It's hard though, isn't it? I was listening last week and you stumbled over the Full Nels crew, which is not a criticism.
Wow.
It's hard.
Sounds like feedback but started
when
early,
you
Sean.
Get down, I think when you get about halfway through, your mind gets a little bit lost in it all.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's going on? The worst, right, was when we did it at TCGSCon.
Mm.
Sorry, right. Pause there for a second.
Will do. Mm.
Sean, what do you think would be the biggest amount of breaking news that can happen that isn't, let's just say, isn't a terrorist attack? Something really bad. What's the biggest breaking
out,
news that would force us to stop
attack.
The pod? Not terrorists and not like family, you know, related.
Yeah.
Is there any, what could happen that we're like, we're going to have to all stop? Is there anything? Maybe
I don't know.
Aliens.
Because death of a royal, nah.
Nah.
Another COVID lockdown.
What, it would just happen?
James probably
like,
passing out.
So
would
what's
that be like if he was James probably? Oh,
yeah,
probably
if James actually fell unconscious.
Like, fell unconscious for a while.
What have we still got Chen's number if that does actually happen?
I was thinking about that the other day. It's like we need, you know, like a, well, not a backup plan. We need a plan if James were to pass out and we're like, get in contact
with
him?
We're not responsible for him. If
he's in his chair and he's like dribbling, like okay, fuck. We like, how do we contact them right over there?
So anyway, but I just heard like a massive bang out in the hallway, and I thought, holy, what is going on out there? And it was just an Amazon delivery coming through the post.
Amazon delivery. It just 7 past 9.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're in London, Sean.
It's a London thing.
If I ordered now, it'll turn up in an hour.
Can we get James to use one of those Twitch widgets where it shows his heart rate?
Yeah, the heartbeat monitor, yeah. We should do it.
Constantly 194. Okay, all right. I know where I was.
Oh, I don't know.
I know where I was. Yeah, so you know when you get like halfway through the Patreon producers list and then your mind just goes, have I just said that one? The worst time I've had that was TCGSCon where I looked up for some reason halfway through. I was reading them and then I looked up and I looked back down and went, fuck, where was I?
That's right, you missed one, didn't you?
In front of all these people, yeah, I missed one, yeah. That was bad. But if you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/TCGS. There's different tiers there. I feel awful, right? I feel awful for two reasons. I feel awful for missing your show last week. Thank you so much for covering for me. I sent you a message, I think it was in the morning on the Monday, and I just felt honestly, I just felt so bad about it. And then again for the Wednesday where you didn't even give me the opportunity to tap out.
No, because that Wednesday
there was
supposed
absolutely
to
no yeah. way I would have been able to have done that show, but I was really thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're supposed to do a much promoted, a much delayed Sonic versus Sonic Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Are we the only ones that's mentioned? Like, I swear we've mentioned Sonic more than anyone else has in the world.
Yeah, more than the writers.
Someone's tracking the metrics for Zonic, yeah. And they're like, holy shit.
Yeah, Google Trends are off the charts.
Zonic's big again. Wouldn't it be brilliant if Zonic's in the next game?
Just because of this. Because we keep mentioning it, but not actually doing the book. Anyway, so we're supposed to do it. And then I said to like Sean and James, like, look, come on, like this, you know, Dave is clearly fucked. Let's just organise something alternative and then we'll tell him he's not doing it. So that's always going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what happened? I was fine on the Sunday and I woke up on the Monday with tonsillitis. Like I just knew, was it? I realised then, I can't remember. I had like the fever dreams and all that sort of stuff. On Tuesday night, England played Belgium and I watched that on the telly, and in my lap, I had the Wales versus Poland game. And the Wales versus Poland game was more important. It decided who out of those two teams made it to the European Championships, right? And I watched it. Wales got knocked out. That night, I was having fever dreams where people were coming up to me and said, Dave, are you sure they're knocked out? Are you sure Wales are knocked out? Can we go through their results of the previous
Let's
five
check
games?
Again.
We might have got the goal difference wrong. Can you have a look? And I'm like going, whoa, that's a real fuck up if they've played the game now. And I'm sitting there and I'm waking up. And apparently Joe just went, David, you're all right. And I went, no, why? And she went, you just shouted, fuck, really loudly. I don't think I'm very well, Joe. So yeah, I had tonsillitis and uvulitis, if you know what that is. That is the worst thing ever. And I'm just off the back of antibiotics now, so feeling way better. I was gutted to miss it last week. And I listened back to the show. I've got my feedback. No. There's only one piece, really.
No. So just on, because we started this in the Patreon section. Yeah. So as well as the bonus pod, like last week, we David wasn't here, so me, James, and Sean played Walkabout Mini Golf with Ian Lee. And it was brilliant. Every time
really
we play
lovely,
a game,
yeah.
We remember how good that game is.
Yeah, please, please, please go and watch that if you're subscribed to that tier, because there's a bit at the end that's so fucking funny that I must have watched it about eight times. It's funny how, for a stupid little game like that, I say stupid little game, for a fantastic game like that, still part of you that's like, I want to win this.
Yeah, I was thinking
James
that.
Gets really frustrated if he fucks up. He gets really angry. Yeah. You can tell it in his voice. But yeah.
I mean, him and Ian were sniping each other all night. It was it was great to see.
Cool. My feedback on last week's show, not much to say. And unfortunately, yeah, excellent show as always. But, you know, James digging me out about not being on the show last week. I was really going to give it to him, but, you know, he's off for the next three. So, yeah.
give it to him in July.
Yeah.
I'm really gonna wind him up in 4 weeks' time, yeah, and really shove it back in his face. Other than that, all good. All good. Should we get onto the feedback from the listeners?
Yes, Major PDD, our newest Formula Else. And my feedback is simple. You guys are awesome week in, week out. I don't know. Oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
Sorry if I missed. I normally try and tidy
David,
him up.
David, it wasn't cutie. It was cutty, David.
Well, no, come on. That's that. This is. Anyway. I don't know how much you mean to you, but you guys mean the world to us. Happy birthday week, 8 years old. Enjoy your gift from Major PDD. #TCGSCon24.
What he's written is, I know we don't know how much we mean to you, but you guys mean the world to us. That's the sentence.
Yeah, okay. That's
I can read the words,
right,
but I can't
dig him out.
I don't know what it means.
He's full now. Let's not dig him out. Yeah, thanks. 8 years, man. 8 years now. That's crazy, isn't it?
That sounds like that too long. Is that an April Fool's joke? Has it actually been 3 weeks?
Well, 8 years and nearly 400 shows?
Yeah, it was 395, this is.
Mm-hmm. Ouch. All right, Yoda. Next.
Well, we want to do a birthday stream. Are we going to?
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that.
We didn't talk about it off air, did we? But we're going to do something.
We're going to do a birthday stream, but Matt keeps changing the day. So
I'm not keep changing it. The birthday is Saturday, but I would like to go out on Saturday. So
you
I'm thinking Friday.
And go, that's what it was. You text everyone this morning going, everyone want to do a birthday stream on Saturday? Yeah, we'll do that. Right. Cool. How about Friday, though? And I was like, right, Matt's got something on Saturday. He's,
yeah.
with his crazy lifestyle that he's leading now. He's out in the pubs.
It's all different now.
He's off the chain.
I've got to spend my nights in the nightclub, boys. I've got to put the effort in.
Clubland, baby. Anyway, yeah, so Friday stream, birthday stream. Yeah.
Summer, what are we going to do? I mean, James can't make it, obviously.
Obviously.
I don't think there's nothing that like that we've thought, oh, we could do that, but it's a three-player game and we wouldn't normally do it because there's normally four of us. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like jumping out at me. Destiny. Let's play Destiny. Let's do that.
So, we'll have a think about it.
Or suggestions send in. But yeah, basically, suggestions send in. But yeah, the birthday is Saturday, but we're going to stream Friday.
Yoda Matt. It's going to be the episode time.
It's going to be a good episode. It is going to be a good one. Right.
Paul, that is going to be the
great
title.
Show this week from Sean, Matt, and new guest James. You had to replace Dave. He was funny. Get him on more. Well, we'd love to. Unfortunately, he can't be asked.
He's unavailable.
Yeah.
He's just said it again, baby.
Just noting Matt's discussion on how impressive the Apple Vision Pro was at running YouTube and a Notes app reminded me of the Peep Show scene where Johnson gets a 32-inch plasma in his office. When you get a document up on that, baby, you are seriously looking at a document. I love living in the future. Keep up the good work, fellas. Yeah, well, I thought that when I was using it, but it was really impressive. Cool. The Notes in 4K.
Who's the fucking guy that my son is obsessed with at the moment on YouTube?
James Farley.
Who's big YouTubers, Matt? You know big YouTubers. Well, don't
I mean, point out for your son's demographic, I don't know.
Ryan Trahan?
Yep.
Really? No, he's like the next big thing, apparently.
I'm watching the current big thing.
Yeah, you're a little bit behind the times, Grandad. He spent like a week in his Apple Vision Pro, a week just going around his daily business and stuff. And I just thought, fucking hell, man. I mean, the 10 minutes that you were in it sounded like hell. I can't imagine sitting in it for a week, man.
Well, yeah, but great content. That's why he's doing it. It's not to actually... Although I do think you kind of need... You need a lot of time in it to maybe truly see how it could affect workflows and stuff. But
so what can we do then? What can we do... to get that sort of content? Because this guy's got millions and millions of subs, Matt. What can we get you to do that's similar?
I'm available to do anything now. So I'm already planning great future content.
is there a roadmap for this content?
I think it could be, yeah. I think the bonus show could be absolutely ridiculous. I think in about 6 months' time.
You know what? I don't know if you saw it, but someone on Rollmark posted a message saying, "Matt, hope you're doing all right."
Because I didn't see that.
We've mentioned it a couple of times on the pod, but Matt's going through some heavy shit at the moment.
Listen to the bonus show. You'll hear everything.
Listen to the bonus show. You want to hear everything. Someone was saying, "Oh, Matt, hope you're all right. Sad to hear whatever you're going through." I assume the bet's off, and I just replied instantly, "The bet is very much on."
Yeah. More on than ever, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I'm thinking now maybe they'll get a tattoo before to like, you know, lean into it.
Warm up.
Okay.
Where were we? Yes, Joe, the button pusher. Dear TCGS, the UK's number one royalist gaming podcast and your source of royal gaming news, reviews, and pro monarchist banter.
It's true.
Delighted to hear that with David absent, you are allowed out of your cages for a lovely podcast. Frankly, it was almost too nice without someone to interject in the middle and call each person a name. I took it to just shouting twat every few seconds to fill out loud. Oh, fuck, I can't speak tonight. I took to just shouting twat every few seconds out loud to fill the gap. Unfortunately, I was on a bus while I listened to the podcast, and now I'm a social pariah. Yours regrettably, Joe.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Come on, Joe. My comedy's better than that. It's not just slagging them off. It's how I slag them off. You can't just shout twat at them. There's got to be timing and James Farley involved.
There was a bit last week where James was like, I can barely speak. What do we do? And I was just like, twack, twack, you prick. And that didn't really seem to help.
No. You stick to your puns, Matt.
I stick to the comedy.
Yeah. Okay, if that's what you want to call it.
That is it for feedback. Go to tcs.co/DTSD. Oh, okay, I'm done.
Matt, what's going on?
I don't know. I think I'm quite tired today.
It's toasted.
tcgs.co/DTCGS.
When did you start drinking today?
It's like 10 a.m.
a.m.
No,
it's bank holiday.
I think. Yeah, I did have a beer earlier, but no, it's not that.
It's not that. He says it's not that, Dave.
I went to Arcade Club. Maybe
why wouldn't we believe him? Oh, did you go to Arcade Club?
I'm convinced.
He went to Arcade Club, yeah. I went to Arcade Club. I came home. I finished watching the end of Free Body Problem, had a quick nap, and now we're here. So it's probably all that stuff put together.
Okay. So if you want to send us some feedback, this is us. Because... / says tits.
Just Google it.
It's time for the news, baby.
Speaking of being tired, it took us 2 hours to get my son to sleep, so I haven't really read these news stories properly.
Do you know what kills me is that you guys have put more effort in to like last week than you did this week. Is that what did someone turn around? Someone said, oh, now that David's off, do you all like just sort of like just hang out and have a week off and just it's like, way party? It's like when the bosses aren't in. Yeah. It's like, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly
we all left really early. You know, got in late.
I'm off for a week and look at this shambles. Look at this shambles of a show we've
got. It was better last week, yeah. We were popping last week.
I just stopped laughing because the first news story is not a nice one. I mean, there's not been so many layoffs the last few weeks. I know it was pretty relentless for a while, but yeah, pretty bad one. Sega have laid off 240 members of staff across numerous studios, mainly Creative Assembly, who, as we know, were up until recently working on Hyenas, the online shooter that got canned when it was apparently pretty far on in development. But the other weird twist is they're selling Relic Entertainment, who are the sort of strategy game developer, the other strategy game developers, I guess. So Relic are being bought by an unknown independent third party. I just thought it was strange because my understanding was that, you know, when people talk about like, oh my, what does Sega even do these days? Was my understanding was that actually they're sort of relatively niche sort of PC strategy stuff was actually secretly huge and, you know, pretty good earner for them, whereas this suggests otherwise. But
Sega also announced recently a bunch of new titles that they're working on.
And the Super Game.
I am wondering if there's been some sort of big shift at the top or there's been a new direction for Sega that they're looking to take. But this is awful, isn't it? Again.
Yeah. Real shame. I mean, yeah, as we said at the time, that the whole situation around Hyenas was very strange because, I mean, they cancelled it like, what, 2-3 weeks after they put out a new trailer? Which looks like good fun and a really nice bit of like Sega fan service. I mean, I assume they wouldn't have cancelled it without good reason, but it's just, yeah, huge shame.
Yeah, because that thing is in like late preview stage and everything.
Yeah, because haven't they recently just had the press in to see as well? And it was,
clearly they thought that the upkeep or servers or, you know, the next like, few years to make it profitable or make it a success, that the cost would just be too much
We all know it's a... maybe not a great time to release a service game, but then we've known that for several years at this point, so it's why let it get that far along before killing it? It's very odd. But
just on that, obviously we had like Sony saying, you know, they're gonna release 12, you know, loads of live service titles, and then there's also the story later saying actually they're probably gonna decrease the amount of live service titles they're making. Do you think they're basically gonna kind of like can them all and actually change that tax? Because it feels like
they can't can them all, surely.
Well, no, I mean, maybe we don't know how many were in development, but like maybe the idea of releasing so many, like I can see them just like, actually backing off that completely and, you know,
it wouldn't surprise going back to
what they do best, which is these kind of cinematic single player games rather than totally diverting, you know, totally pivoting the company and going to live service. I think it's just wild. Can't see it happening. Although maybe the success of Helldivers is once again changed their minds again.
Yeah.
How do you? I was thinking about this Helldivers thing the other day. How do you replicate that? Sometimes I think games are just I don't know. They just have something that blows up, and people. How do you replicate that? Because the next game that comes out to do exactly what Helldivers does. Will be, well, I'll just play Helldivers. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how...
Yeah, it's kind of lining in the bottle, isn't it?
To the next level.
Everyone tries to make games and does everything to try and have these moments. And they say, look, 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 we're doing what Helldivers have done, and we've done this on social, and we're doing that in a meta, you know, sense. But, you know, sometimes it banks and sometimes it doesn't. It's
no, do you think like with Helldivers, it feels very much like it's, well, I mean, A, it's just very good fun, obviously. That's important. Yeah. B, it does the live service stuff, but with an incredibly light touch. Like, I haven't touched it for a couple of weeks, but in no way am I like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to know what's going on when I go back. No. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll just be able to dive
I was thinking about that today, because I was playing it today, and I just thought, oh shit, Destiny didn't get this down, did it? Like, this is what Destiny was missing, and that's a bad thing to say, because the people that were well into Destiny did care about that stuff. But for an outsider that likes to dip in and dip out, it is way easier to dip into. And just follow on socials what's happening in Helldivers while you're not there.
I mean, I think that's a bit unfair on Destiny. I think if you like left Destiny for 2 weeks and come back, it would have been the same. It's only because we were leaving and come back months later, we're like, what the hell's happening? And
I think I'm talking over that period of time, it become illegible. Like, you could not, you don't know, you logged in and you didn't know what the currencies were. Yeah. It was just ridiculous.
But it felt like every major expansion, it was like, oh, this is it. They've improved the onboarding. This is, you know, lapsed players or new players. This is going to be how they get back in. And then we try it and it's like, oh, no, still a fucking nightmare. Sorry.
I don't know. I think you're right. We don't know what Helldivers is going to look like in a couple of months, and it may look vastly different. I doubt it. I don't think they need to do it. They released two new weapons in the past week, which was like a laser cannon and this massive, like, it's like a heavy machine gun. It's heavier than the heavy machine gun they've got in it, right? And use these weapons, you're like, shit, these are way too overpowered. These are way too overpowered. I'm absolutely smashing the shit out of people. And you know, because it's in 2 weeks, those new enemy types are going to come in and make that the new standard, that you need one of these weapons just to survive against them. And that is such a beautiful way of doing it. Like, release something that's overpowered for a little bit, because, you know, have fun now, but in 3 or 4 weeks, you are going to be, or you're going to need help.
Is that, I always forget who originally said it, but there's a famous quote from a developer where they were saying, like, players think they want balance, right, and everything, especially with online stuff. But actually, what they want is a constantly evolving imbalance, because that's where the drama comes in, and that's it's just stuff constantly changing. So yeah, it's like no one wants Helldivers to have like a perfectly set out set of weapons and enemies that counter that in interesting ways. Like, it's actually that sort of ebb and flow of like, well, you get some new stuff, but then there's new enemies.
You
but
get some new stuff, you feel more powerful, and then there's that constant. The enemy catching you up to how powerful you're getting. You know what I mean by how do you replicate it? How do you take what Helldivers did and release your own version of it? I could see that with battle royale games. I could see, oh, you could do different types of this, and you could introduce new things to this, and you can change things. But as you say, the extraction shooter has been going for a while, and this just feels like a bit of a pinnacle of it. And there are people that you know, that are into extraction shooters that look at this and go, this isn't quite as complicated as I want it. So I'm not saying this is the pinnacle for everyone.
Why it works, right?
Exactly. For hitting that mainstream note, I think that's how it works. And then the dressing around it, the stupid bullshit about everyone going to themselves, oh, look, the war's going on, and you know, you need to do your bit for the war, all of that ironic bullshit that people sprinkle over it, myself included. Like, I love it. You know, all of that, as you say, has been lightning in a bottle, and it come at a time where not much was going on in that genre. Like, action shooters they seem to have died a death, and it kind of reminds me of when Gears of War first come out. Do you know what I mean? Nothing really competed with Gears of War when that first come out either, so I don't know. You don't know where they go. Where was this going?
Sorry, we're talking about live service stuff.
Yeah, talking about Sega and binning hyenas. Yeah.
And Sony, and look where we are.
Right.
Yeah. Shall we move on?
Yes.
We're talking the other week about Embracer letting Gearbox go, but we weren't sure what was happening to them. They have been purchased by Take-Two in a deal worth $460 million. Which is good news, because, you know, I mentioned at the time, because obviously Gearbox, as well as producing their own stuff, they also publish other things as well. So it would have been a huge loss if they they didn't find a buyer. I think they probably were always going to. But yeah, so sort of good news. Any comments?
Well, so does this mean they own the Borderlands IP?
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously that movie's coming out soon.
Yes, which looks all right.
No, I was about to say it looks fucking dreadful.
I saw from the trailer. I saw
a trailer again on the weekend.
I probably won't
rush
out and see it.
So looks, it's bad. But yeah, I was like, it's probably a good time to buy them if, you know, I guess there's opportunity there. Potentially they can maybe do more if the film somehow does well. They can do more of them. Mm. I mean, it's good
so
that
in
he's...
the image that they've put out. Mm-hmm. Can I just get this right? So they've got on the image that they put out, Take-Two, to announce that they've purchased Gearbox. Mm. You've got Borderlands, obviously.
Yep.
Is that Civilization?
Yep. It must be Civilization, yeah.
Or is it Age of Empire? I don't know what that is. It's on the main article, Sean, if you wanted to look at it.
If you scroll down to the tweet on the Eurogamer.
That's Civilization, isn't it?
Civilization, right. So what? So Gearbox owns Civilization? Or they publish it?
No, I think that's just something that Take-Two via 2K always owned. So I think that those images
just
represent
their own brands in there. I look at like BioShock and I thought, well, that's what. And then Duke Nukem, do you really want to put that on an image to say welcome to the family?
Yeah, and like putting BioShock on there is weird, given that the team that made it disbanded ages ago, didn't they?
Yeah, so. Odd. But there you go.
I wonder if we'll get a new Duke Nukem.
This
I don't really know if that
really...
would be appropriate. I hope we get a new Duke Nukem and he gets the full Kratos treatment.
That would be great. He does that. Yeah, I'll play that.
I'd be up for that.
Sure. Go on.
What's next? Oh, yeah. So Sven Vinker from Larian, makers of Baldur's Gate 3 and many other games, did a talk at GDC where he clarified that basically they're not doing any more Baldur's Gate 3 stuff, no DLC, they don't want to do a Baldur's Gate 4, and they're going back to working on their own stuff, which is interesting because, like, as a studio, they've always done well enough. But obviously, Baldur's Gate 3 has been a big moment for them, so it's interesting for them to make this decision, or maybe the decision was out of their hands. Who knows? But the additional context for this is obviously Hasbro let a lot of people go and they own Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm.
So who knows, right, what the relationship is there, but it very much sounds like they don't want to do any more Dungeons and Dragons stuff, therefore no more Baldur's Gate. It's interesting because, again, Larian have been making RPGs for years, and then in the case of Baldur's Gate 3, which did really well, but a lot of people were like, the Dungeons and Dragons like systems in it are a bit confusing and weird if you don't already know Dungeons and Dragons. So maybe that, I don't know, maybe they didn't enjoy having to incorporate that stuff and would rather just design their own systems and not be, you know, sort of beholden to D&D stuff. I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, I haven't played D&D and I haven't played Baldur's Gate, but if they were to make a game similar without the official D&D bits, like how different would that game be? Or
well,
so many
probably
parts
be
of the
another
game.
Another Divinity game, because that's, you know, that's like one of the main series they've sort of been doing sort of prior to Baldur's Gate 3. And like everyone says, like if you enjoy Baldur's Gate 3, then like Divinity Original Sin 2 still holds up and is really good fun. It's very similar. But I haven't played it properly, so cannot speak to like.
This is like EA not having a FIFA license, but basically making FIFA without a license. Could they basically essentially make another ball? Okay, good.
Yeah,
hold on, is Baldur's Gate a Dungeons and Dragons license then?
Yeah. It's D&D.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's the settings and the systems that make it,
Okay. But the thing with D&D is so much of it is like very sort of generic, sort of Tolkien-esque fantasy that. I don't know how easy it is to argue like copyright infringement on any of it. I mean, I'm sure Hasbro have got some very expensive lawyers, but I don't know.
Okay.
So Phil. Oh, no, sorry, no. Before we get on to Phil Spencer and things he's been saying at GDC this week, there's been an alleged leak of a digital only Xbox Series X. And it's white.
That's exactly what we thought it was going to be, isn't it?
Pretty much.
This looks horrible.
don't know. Does it look? I don't mind the look of it. It looks like an old PC, doesn't it? It looks like a
yeah.
So
it's a Series X, but without the disc tray or the disc slot, and it's just white. Mm-hmm. So it does look like an old. It looks like you're going to load AOL chat on it and say ASL to the first person you speak to. It's not really. I don't like it. Mm. It's funny how much that little disc slot completes the look, doesn't it?
Yeah, without it, it just looks weird.
How like often do you? I've still like when I got my Series X, what must have been just under a year ago, and I was like, cool, I've now got something that will play the Blu-rays that I own, and I don't think I've put any of them in it yet.
I probably have
I've used
put
it to watch
discs in there,
a few home videos.
Oh yeah,
I was going to say that sounds a bit
home videos,
a bit vague.
Do you mind? Watch your fucking mouth.
Look what what you get. I'm happy for you, Dave.
Yeah, well done.
You know,
yeah, show off.
I'll tell her, and you know she can fucking knock you out.
Yeah, she probably can actually. Anyway, you watch little home videos. That's fine.
But I've used the PS5 disc tray way more than the Xbox, mainly because they're more about single player games that you play for like a weekend and then sell on Roblox. Yeah.
And crucially, they're not on a subscription service. You know, everything is on subscription. Well, I have Game Pass, so very very little need to actually buy a disc to put in my Series X.
So it makes sense. So how much more did you say this was going to be than the Series X, Matt? I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember what I said, but I was going for a lot of time. So I don't think we can really,
Yeah, we can.
I don't think we can really.
Even for what you were going through, mate.
I don't think we can really, think
you said
we can't.
This was going to be more expensive.
It has no weight, what I said back then. I didn't know what day it was. So I'm not sure what I said, really. But yeah, I think I did say it was more expensive.
Well, the leaker, which is per Eurogamer, says the new all-digital model will likely be priced, quote, in a lesser bracket.
So
it's actually going to be less money.
That's embarrassing.
Less money than Series X? Whoa. I guess that makes sense.
Don't give it any. Or don't give it all to that. Now,
Hang on. How much is
don't
a
that math?
How much is a Series S? 200 quid. We did this last time. But fucking, we'll do it again. Series
S 250, wasn't it? Is the RRP?
Yeah. Imagine it did like Series S for 200, this for 300, and then the other one for 400. They'll knock 50 quid off that just to make it.
No, £400, like an extra 100 just to get the disc tray. Matt, what is going on with you?
I'm just trying to work out like where
work in marketing.
I'm just trying to work out where they would be kind of in price brackets.
Because the thing is, you don't even have the excuse
Series
of like.
Series S is the most popular, so make that 500. We'll do the X for 200.
Okay, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah, so that's 250 on Amazon. So that's 250. Okay, maybe make the discless X, what, 350?
400 and 450. That sits right. That sounds about right. £50 less.
Yeah, I guess.
The discless version. I think that's probably about where it is. And then
they would probably want
let's
it.
Let's hear one more about what Matt thinks. Yeah. Come on.
I think they would probably try and do the Apple thing whereby there's like the various tiers of phone and you're like, oh, I want to get this phone. Oh, actually, for any 50 quid more, it's this. Like, I feel like they would want to have it in between the S and the current X in a way that's, oh, you want to get an S? Well, you could, but actually for 75 quid more, you can get this. I think they would probably want to try and upsell.
Right.
And if
that.
It's 200 quid difference, they're like, well, I'm not going to spend 200 quid more.
I get that. But how are you going to sit in front of someone and say, oh, you want an S? Well, for 150 quid more, you can get the X. It hasn't got the disc drive, but it's oh, yeah, I like the look of that. Yeah, well, for £100 more, you can get the same thing, but put a disc in it. I don't know if that's as good.
Wait, just ignore that. I'm saying I think they're probably making more compelling as an upsell.
Okay, all right.
Up yours. I mean,
why are they bothering with the discless one?
I don't know.
It seems, I mean, assuming they are, right? This might not be real. Let's just caveat that. But considering the problems Xbox is having, I don't see how this helps.
Nah, nor do I. Do you really think they're going to drop the disc version? I don't.
No.
I don't. No. It's too much of a risk, I think.
Yeah, 100%. They're already.
I don't want to risk it for
I think we're like three generations away from that, honestly. Like,
I don't know. I think maybe we're a little bit closer with this. Sony seem to be pushing it more than Microsoft at the moment. But we'll see. I don't know. I keep saying to myself, I don't think I'm ready for a discless console. Yet I barely buy any discs anymore. You know, it's just me digging my heels in at this point. I can see it being a future thing, but
I agree. I mean, I would always want to buy the one with a disc on the off chance. Oh, that game's cheap, or I want to buy second hand, or you know, I just want the option. You know, if I was like locked into just digital only, I'd be like, oh my god. But actually, yeah, most of my games are digital, and especially now, yeah, you get your credit from like CD keys. It often works out cheaper sometimes to get a digital version than the disc, you know, disc in the shops. So,
Phil Wall in the chat says, what if this is the new S and the old S is
dead? But there's already a new S.
Yeah, the black one.
But they come out like a year and a half ago now, didn't it?
God, was it that long ago?
It's more about, you know, as we hear all, you know, I guess in UK and Europe too, but certainly the parts of America where like the internet is so slow that there's no chance they're going to move over to digital. But,
is that,
you know,
still a thing? I've never.
What would assume?
It does
so.
Feel like something that we've said since the, you know, early 2000s. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What about those people in America with half a meg download? We don't exist.
Broadly speaking, I gather like rural isolation in America is still like much bigger problem than it is here, for example.
And for like developer markets worldwide, there will be hundreds of millions of people that don't have, you know, fast enough internet, so they will still require that. But so I can still see, three generations down the line still selling a disc.
Sure, but the most successful game of the year is probably Helldivers.
I mean,
online-only game?
Yep. What's your point?
Well, maybe the industry just don't really give a shit if you haven't got an internet connection at this point.
But having an internet connection is one thing, but you need a fast internet connection, really, to like download digital games and the update. I don't know.
So you need a faster internet connection to play Helldivers online, wouldn't you, than to download a game?
I don't know. I'm not head of infrastructure at BT, but I don't know. I don't know why I'm even arguing this. Really, who cares? Yeah, it's interesting. I'll still be buying machines with discs. That's what I'm saying. Obviously with Switch, if it was like a digital only, if it's a digital only Switch, I would never do that because I would always buy Switch cartridges because of the resale value, etc. But PlayStation, Xbox, it's just been so digital for a long time. But I still want the option. Still want the option of disc.
How many more generations is it going to be until we start seeing some high profile examples of digital games vanishing for, you know, whatever reasons, like licensing reasons or whatever? And because obviously we've seen it quite a lot with film, like, and you know, everyone getting on board with streaming, and then suddenly, hang on a minute, shit just disappears overnight because agreements run out and stuff. So there's now a growing movement of people being like, no, probably buy DVDs and Blu-rays, actually. If you really like a film, physically own it, or else it's shaky. I wonder how long it's going to be until we see more of that with games.
I'm just not that person. I'm so not that person. Like, one of my favourite games of all time, Titanfall 2, if they said, right, it's gone now forever, I'll go, okay. Oh, I remember it. It was good.
Would you? That would absolutely kill me.
I wouldn't kill me. I go, okay, that's sad, isn't it? It's gone.
I've got videos of it. It's fine.
When's the last time I played it? Long time ago. It doesn't matter now.
It's old.
I'm talking about the Atari 400 Mini.
In 30 years we'll have an Xbox One Mini, and you can play Titanfall on that. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
And have loads of other games. All the other Xbox One hits.
That loco cycle.
Yeah. Speaking of Xbox. Phil Spencer did a long old interview with Polygon, and they've done the very smart SEO thing of breaking it down into different articles with SEO friendly headlines. Phil Spencer wants other digital storefronts on the Xbox. I don't really understand why, though. I think what he describes would sort of be very cool from a consumer point of view. I don't see how it helps Xbox, though.
The only thing I can think of is that you want Steam on there so you can play Sony games on the Xbox.
That would be funny.
That's the only thing. You get Steam on there and everyone's going, yeah, no, it's fine. We can play Spider-Man on my Xbox now. It's fine.
he basically, so he, his rationale for it is, you know, he's talked quite a bit before about how, like, the console audience is not growing, right? Which is partly why we reckon they wanted Activision Blizzard, because obviously they own King as well, so there's a huge mobile element to that.
But I mean, it's funny he says that. It's probably the Xbox probably isn't, but well, I think Switch and PlayStation teams are doing okay, don't they? Well, no, I think consoles anymore, I think apparently.
His point is, like, well, they are. Rather than trying to fight Nintendo and PlayStation for their market share, like, he wants Xbox to, like, find new players, right?
Which, release some games then, mate. You know what I mean? I would simply release some games. That's what I would simply do.
Yeah, he says, consider our history as the Windows company. Nobody would blink twice if I said, hey, when you're using a PC, you get to decide the type of experience you have by picking where you buy games. There's real value in that. And again, he's not wrong, but I don't think that's the same thing. Like,
lads, I'm worried. I think Phil's lost it. You know, he said lots of nice things over the years. Yeah. And it's, I mean, you know, we've all loved kind of, you know, happy, Phil saying lovely things which are consumer friendly. Oh, we want this, and you know, we're gonna, you know, he said lots of nice things which are very consumer friendly because he's had to try and salvage the Xbox brand and save it from where it was with, you know, when it was TV. But like, I think recent years, just like, there's lots of stuff he's saying is just, can we just get back to making a console with some games on it? I don't know.
I think they're past it though. I think they're past that point now. I think had they been competing with Sony at this point, we would be seeing a lot different communication from Xbox. Right now, it really feels like they're panicking.
Yeah, it really does.
They're up
really
against
does.
It and going, what the fuck are we going to do now?
How about, like, Epic on the mad. Xbox? What? Just Phil, make a game.
Well, this is what's really interesting. So, I didn't put this in
How
the news,
two
but
disc drives?
I don't. Yeah. Ah, do you guys, no disc drives. Fucking hell, Phil! Release a game.
I don't know if you guys subscribe to Hit Points. It's Nathan Brown's newsletter.
Yes, that email on Friday that came through.
He did a sort of
unsubscribable,
a very sort of well-intentioned but basically character assassination of Phil Spencer. No, that's not fair. He does caveat it with, like, I gather he's a lovely guy. It's just his decision.
However,
and he, like. And he just makes the point. It's like, for all these, like, huge moves that Phil Spencer and Xbox have made, are we, like, it feels like we're really just back to, like, yeah, but you've just got to make good games, man. Like, that, which we've said for generations, right? Do whatever you want. If games aren't there, people won't show up. And it just feels like we're back to that still. Like,
it is mad. I remember about 2 years after I made all those acquisitions, and they spent that E3 talking about how they've bought all these companies. I remember about 2 years after that, people going, so where are these games then? And I go, no, it takes a long time. And then every year it was, maybe we're going to hear about all these studios they've bought and what they're bringing out. And I know someone recently sent us a list of games that Microsoft Studios released. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there were some games on there, but none of them felt like they were making any impact whatsoever. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And there's been a couple of high-profile ones that we really... I mean, almost nobody liked Redfall. We didn't really get on with Starfield.
Starfield was dreadful. It was dreadful. Like, it was. Yeah. And I know we've tiptoed around it and we've... You know, I finished that game. I thought it had some really interesting ideas towards the end. Ultimately, it was shit, and that was a game that really, really needed to bang for Xbox, and it didn't. Mm. It was nowhere near. Mm. Like, as you say, they released that sort of revamped version of Cyberpunk, and that showed up how bad Starfield was. Mm. You know, it's it's wild over there at the moment. And nothing's going to convince us otherwise until you start showing us games that blow us away. And when you've got games being released on PlayStation that people are like, sorry, what? What is that game? Oh, I don't know. And it comes out and it's a global phenomenon. Mm. You know what I mean? You've got to look at Xbox and go, so what next? Mm. Like, where do you go from here?
Like, Sony,
games that Sony are not banking on are banging.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking mad.
Like, you know, Avowed is this year. I'm excited about it. Indiana Jones as well. Yeah, that could genuinely bang. Like, that could be really good.
It could, but Are you to the point where you're looking at like those games and going, nah, this is it. This is the turning
well, this
point.
Is it. Like, I'm excited about Avowed, but knowing, you know, the sort of studio in Obsidian are, I think it, like, to most people, it's going to be like a 7 or 8 out of 10. Oh, it's a bit janky.
Right.
But I'm all right with that, but I don't think it's going to be big enough to move the needle. Like,
and you go Indiana Jones, like, it's not the greatest thing to get you excited, is it? He's got a whip, has he? All right.
He hates snakes.
He does hate snakes. It's true.
He does.
But yeah, like this week is the 10-year anniversary of Phil being head of Xbox.
Oh, is it?
You think, obviously we're in a better place than we were 10 years ago, but like what's really happened?
I should say as well.
We're
like,
still waiting.
Let's say it all crashes and burns and Phil happens to be at the wheel at the time and like takes the blame and stuff. That will be a huge shame because he's, you know, he always comes across as very honest, very candid, not in like a Molyneux
Absolutely.
Way, but like a seemingly genuine way.
Yeah,
it would be
well,
such
a
shame if the lesson from Phil's tenure at Xbox is don't be like that. Right? Because I don't want people to not want to be like that. But yeah, it's
yeah, no, I agree. I like Phil Spencer. Mm. I think he's a very good salesman. I think he's a good
evidently
head
not.
Of a well, yeah, but he's not had anything to sell.
That's
I mean,
true.
It's something.
Well, yeah,
he's
it has been a tough 10
ages,
years
like,
for him.
You know, what can he get excited about? Oh, well, Halo, that's a no-brainer. What?
Oh, God, yeah, they
what?
Fumbled Halo, didn't they? That's, you forget, don't you?
No, I don't forget.
Yeah, we never forget.
I cry every morning about it.
I mean, so the other story that came out of this was, yeah, he's been daydreaming about a handheld Xbox. I mean, more broadly, he was just talking about, like, so he's been using the Lenovo Legion Go, and he was just, like, basically just lamenting the fact that it's not, like, a console experience, right? Which I think you get to an extent with the Steam Deck, but, you know, with about a dozen caveats. And he was just making the point that it's like, why isn't there just a handheld that I can turn on and bang, it's all my Xbox shit, and it works, and it's got all my social stuff.
Why isn't there? Well, you're head of Xbox,
well,
mate.
Well, yeah, maybe you go out there and make it, Phil. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what the portal feels like to me. I turn on my portal and it's like all my PlayStation stuff's there. It's exactly the same. Yeah, of course you can't be portable with it, but I like that's how it feels like in my flat. I turn that portal on and I'm like, fucking hell, I love using this thing every time. I can see where it's going. They're gonna release something, definitely. Yeah.
I hope they do, but it feels like there's more fundamental problems than the way I'm playing Xbox.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I use my Xbox more than my PlayStation. Yeah, I've got more of a love for the PlayStation at the moment than I have the Xbox. Mm. It's mainly because my friends all play on Xbox. That and honestly, I'll stand by this. The online systems on Xbox are still leaps ahead of the PlayStation. Like, it is insane. Mm. Getting into party chats and getting into games and invites and all that shit is done a million times better on the Xbox. It's just that, yeah, as you say, no games.
And yeah, like, handheld Xbox, I would like that. I mean, I haven't got a portal, probably less reason to buy one these days, but like, I just think I love it. Yeah, the opportunity to play a handheld Xbox, that sounds good. I just need more on the Xbox to be able to play on it, frankly. But I mean, he's, you know, like, he said what? He said it could be an app, it could be this, it could be the fact that people are making hardware. Well, I want Microsoft to make the hardware. I want an official one. You can play Game Pass stuff on Steam Deck. You can use other ways to get around this. Like, make an official Xbox. Or I guess I could say here's like the specs for anyone to make the hardware, and there could be loads of different portable Xboxes.
That's what I want. That's what I want. That's a lovely point. That's a lovely point in the prediction leagues for me. Yeah. I do that.
But it would be better for them if they'd said, here is the portable Xbox.
Be better for me.
Here's
if
Xbox
else made
Girl.
It. Okay, is that it for the news?
That is it for the news.
Let's get into what you've been playing then. Should we start with it?
Yeah.
Right. Open Roads is a new game. And it's made by, who is it? Is it Fulbright?
It's Fulbright,
it's the Open Roads company, but I think they came from Fulbright, which was the Steve Gaynor-led company that made Gone Home and other bits.
And we should acknowledge
there's a connection.
There was some accusations, wasn't there, around Steve Gaynor's behaviour?
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots.
Yeah. A couple of years ago now.
I didn't know that.
I think he was basically sort of taken, he was no longer in charge, but he just carried on as a writer, something like that. I don't know any more than that, so don't take that as
gospel, yeah. But... do your own research. Yeah. But yeah, Fonio Open Roads Company.
Open Roads is a 2.5 to 3 hour narrative experience where you play as a character traveling across the country with your mum to find the secrets of your family because your grandma's just died and you're sorting through her stuff and find some dodgy shit. It's not very good, really.
Man. I mean, I'd
sort of
because I saw
really
the reviews.
Been disappointed by it.
It was a lot of sevens. Which is...
Seven's generous.
Really? Okay. Because obviously seven's not bad by any means, but it's not the, you know, the people who made Gone Home numbers, is it? It's not Annapurna numbers.
No.
I mean, it's an Annapurna published game, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I had. They don't make a bad game.
Well, that's what I was just thinking when I said that.
Anyway, 12 minutes. Classic.
I had to remind myself halfway through this game that this was actually made by... This got links to, like, Gone Home and stuff like that, and not... Life is Strange. So this is not a moral choice game. You don't make decisions throughout the game that have an effect on what happens. You get a choice of dialogue, but it doesn't seem to have an impact on anything that's happening around you. And it tells a story, and you discover that story mainly by going through a few 3D environments in first person and picking stuff up and looking at it, and every now and then you pick stuff up and it has a little button where you say, "Hey mum," and then suddenly a two-dimensional mother appears and has a chat with you about what that item is. Ultimately the story is just pretty disappointing. It's got a couple of plot twists in there, but neither of them I cared about because there's not enough development for the characters themselves. Like, the main character you play as, can't even remember their name, Matt.
Tess.
The main character you play as, Tess, is just, there's nothing to her, in my opinion. There's nothing interesting. There's no internal dialogue for Tess. There's no real struggles or anything there. And then the mum.
Opal
is way more interesting, but also just not explored enough. So by the time that you get to the big revelation, then you go, actually, if I cared about these characters, this would be a huge deal. And it's not. And then the credits roll and you go, holy shit, that was a waste of 2.5 hours of my life, actually.
Yeah, I don't think as bad as you. I mean, we'll get to the major issues I got after this. But I think story-wise, yeah, at first I was like, what's really happening? But I think I was about halfway through and I messaged you saying, yeah, the story is definitely getting more intriguing. And, you know, the story was, I guess, intriguing. I wouldn't even describe it as much more than that. But it's like, oh yeah, there's some twist.
The plot twists are decent, right? And they work, and they make you think about the moment you find out your first clue right to the end.
Yeah.
But when you don't care about the characters, it has no impact on you whatsoever, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you're right. The mum definitely had more depth, and yeah, that's clear, big part of the story, and you want to know more and finding out these mysteries and whatnot. But the daughter is very much like, you know, what you see is what you get. I guess it didn't need to be much more depth. I mean, it's a short game.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely needed to.
Yeah, but the story wasn't about her.
Game.
The story was about her mum and
right.
The
family. It's a short game. It's now like 2.5 hours or whatever. The amount of time given to character depth, think about that. It's probably 15 minutes to half an hour. The rest of the time, it's you walking around picking up ashtrays and picking up a poster and then picking up like a thing. And you're going, what the fuck? None of this, you can pick up so much shit and none of it, it's like 99% of it has nothing to do with
it. This is the thing that annoyed me the most, right? So yeah, you can pick up like tons of things in the environment, you know, letter, like often if you see like a letter or a photograph, that's when you have the other prompt and says, "Hey mum," and then you have a mini cutscene. But you can, as David said, to pick up a million ashtrays, you can pick up, you know, models, you can put like plates, cutlery, you can open drawers and there's like things inside it, and you can, I can pick it up, you can rotate it, the pad vibrates, but there's nothing. It's not like Resident Evil where like the pad's vibrating, I mean, turn it around, there's a clue on the bottom. I was like, what is the fucking point? And what that means actually is that you're less inclined to pick everything up because you're like, what is the point? And you're trying to work out what in this environment would probably lead to like a "Hey mum" prompt, because am I going to go around and open every single drawer and every single cupboard and open it and pick up everything
every
up?
Every single fucking ashtray. There's 4,000 ashtrays in this fucking game.
I mean, yeah.
You're a big smoker.
It must have been.
But it's just like, you know, it makes me less inclined to explore because I'm like, what is the point? I'm going to pick it up. Pat's going to vibrate. I'm not going to do anything. I can zoom in. For what reason? There is no reason, you know. Yeah, that thing kind of did my dinner most. I mean, not every
There's
game has
to be...
There's
a subplot about the dad and going to see the dad and that goes nowhere. Like, it just goes, are you going to see him? Yeah. Okay. It goes absolutely...
It doesn't go anywhere, but like...
It offers fuck all, that subplot. That had nothing
yeah, I
to
guess,
do
yeah,
with
it didn't
anything.
Really go. Didn't really go much places. But it was interesting. I was like, where's it going to go? And in the end, it wouldn't go anywhere. I'll tell you why.
I think ultimately that pisses me off, and that honestly, if I was reviewing it, it'd get three or four. Is because
I wouldn't go that low.
I would. It's not finished. Mm. It's not finished. It's broken in several places. The camera just spins you around sometimes. I definitely had
some camera issues.
There were times where you pick up, like in the first area, you pick up an object. And when you let it go, the object returns to where it was. Later on in the game, you pick up an object, you let it go, it just drops down.
Ooh.
And then glitches to where it was.
Oh, that's weird.
And you go, right, well, you haven't finished this. There's also the animation. So the animation is... the 2D elements are a little bit like As Dusk Falls, where it's single frames where they're talking, but they're not animating. So... But they are sort of animating. So they animate for like 2 seconds and then stop, which just makes the game look broken.
Because at least as Dusk Falls, even though it was just keyframes, it was consistent, right? And it was committed to that style. Whereas this
they'll move and then stop and the rest of the fucking dialogue will go and you'll go, but this just feels like you wanted to animate it and then you didn't. Mm. Like, that's what it feels like. Maybe they made this decision early on, right? I don't know the development, you know, the ideas behind the development. I think artistically, it doesn't work. Like, it's frustrating to watch. I think the 2D the 2D elements in the 3D environments is beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's really nice. And it does seem like they're doing something to, like, reduce the frame rate.
It's like, really like 20 frames per second, whereas the environment 60, which fine, that stuff is all good, but that simple choice of making them animate a little bit of dialogue and then stopping, it completely blows that. And also the fact when you're exploring a 3D environment, your mum's not about, so you don't see that 2D element within the 3D environment as you're free roaming. Right. It's only when you go into cutscenes that happens. And you go, oh, shit, that's a shame, because it doesn't feel like my mum's there. It just feels like whenever I press, hey, mum, she shows up.
Yeah, and from nowhere.
It's just, it's really not very good. By the end of it, I was really disappointed because I'm so up for a game like this. I think back to The Last Stop, right, which I think is on Game Pass as well. And that game had such an appalling ending. Like, the last 5 minutes of that game is so fucking terrible. But it had such an impact on me in the way it was trying to do things and the ideas that it had and some of the stories it had to tell us. It sticks with me, that game. And every time I see it on there, or I see it on an advert, or I see, you know, a screenshot with like The Last Stop on like the image on it, I'm like, holy shit, yeah. Was this, it just makes me think like nothing. It made me feel nothing. And if you're a narrative game, the worst thing you could possibly do is leave someone who's seen the credits going, okay, all right, what am I playing next? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I felt coming away from it. It did nothing for me.
One thing that annoyed me the most in this game. Now, I'm not expecting games to be, you know, have so much interactivity. You know, I'm aware, you know, that's going to take budget and time and all sorts of things. But, like, there's a bit where you go to a location and you see some, like, empty wine bottles and beer can stuff in this area. And there's also a bin, and you can select the bin, and then suddenly there's like a 2D cutscene. Your mum was like, I wrote it down. The mum said, it feels like you're trying to tidy up the last two bottles on top of this deck. You as a character says, I really want to tidy up the last two bottles on this deck, because there's loads of bottles in the bin, and there's like two. And then the mum's like, why? You're going to tidy the rest of this location, And then the daughter says, maybe. The cutscene ends. I'm like, brilliant. It's almost like a mini game. I will collect the two bottles. No, you can't entrap the two bottles. It's like the dialogue is basically implied. Hey, it's like you really want to tidy the rest of this area. I'm like, oh, the game's trying to make me do a cool. No, it's not even a cool thing. Something to do in this game, and you can pick the bottles up. Like, why not just give me the option of like you've literally implied it in the dialogue. Why not then allow me to pick the two bottles up and put them in the bin?
There's a lot of shit like that. That also reminds me of the heads and tails bit. Did you win the heads and tails?
No, I lost.
Or lose? You lost. So did I. So there's a bit where like there's like a rickety plank over a dangerous area.
Oh yeah.
And you flip a coin, same heads location. Or tails. Who's gonna go first? And if you lose, your mum goes first. And if you win, you go first. And it feels like it's like then they get you just walk across. So what's the point in the heads and tails then? Like that literally meant nothing.
Yeah, that and like the fact you can pick up every item, but most of them don't do anything. Again, I'm not expecting every item to have a clue or this or that, but like, what? Mm. It just made me want to explore less. And yeah, it's just a bit confusing. Like those bits didn't do much for me. I wouldn't say it's like a bad game. It's just I wanted more. I really wanted like an indie title to really sink my teeth into, great story, something involving and you know, maybe emotional. And this kind of just didn't really go anywhere, okay, especially from the people that have worked on some of these great games before.
Fine. You wouldn't say it was a bad game. What's good about it?
Well, I thought the story is intriguing. I like the art style.
No, it isn't.
I thought the environments look
it's
nice.
It's not intriguing.
No, intriguing doesn't style, mean okay. Great. It doesn't go much further than that. But I was intrigued by the story.
Matt, it takes about an hour and a half to get out of that first fucking house. And you're like, okay.
Yes, because you're picking all the ashtrays up.
What is it with games and investigating family mysteries? Or family
Ben,
secrets?
I fucking love
so
that
relatable,
shit.
Isn't it?
I feel like your family's had any secrets you had to investigate.
Oh, I've told you the big one. I've told you the big one.
Oh, no, I don't know if I remember. This is probably not suitable for the show, right?
No, we can totally do it on the show.
Okay,
so we had some family friends who... I'll tell you this as quick as I can.
This is great.
So my mum worked at a car dealership and she became friendly with someone. Her name was Janie. I could say her Janie name. And they become very friendly and they literally became replacement parents for her.
Right.
So she was a lot older. Mm-hmm. She had a husband. And we used to spend most weekends over at their place. They lived close by. And they were literally my nan and granddad at that point, you know, because my mum's parents died before I was born.
Right.
And when they were quite young, so it was like replacement parents, right? So they were lovely. I think I heard that they couldn't have kids, and that's why they kind of adopted my mum, you know. So we were over there a lot. They were basically my nan and granddad. And then she passed away, and he turned into a right, like, just, I mean, look at it now. He just went into a deep depression and you know, passed away soon after, a couple of years afterwards. A few years after that, my mum told me a story about how before she passed away, she gave my mum a letter and said, hold on to this, and once we've both died, burn it.
Right. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why not burn it?
So I said, so what did you do? And she went, I burnt it. And I went, oh, fuck off. You didn't read it. You didn't open up to see what it was. I went, no.
I don't know if that's admirable or just really annoying.
I mean, she didn't say don't read it. She said burn it. Well, okay, well, I'll burn it once
that's
I open
true.
It.
Yeah, you can read it, then burn it.
Yeah,
no, she said obviously burn it straight. She told her to burn it without reading it. And my theory is that it's a picture of his dick. No, it's not. It's I think.
But they didn't have smartphones, then, so it's just a drawing.
Yeah, and also it's like massive, like A1, like folded up, like fucking hell, mate,
veins and all.
I think it's that they did have a kid, and that was either the birth certificate
and that
or there was something.
Kid was Elon Musk.
But how do you not read it? How do you not read it?
That is nuts.
Should
insane.
We get in a car and drive to a boathouse?
See, someone's to make this that into a game, basically. And at the end, it's like, do you burn it or do you not? And then.
Yeah.
And then,
well,
it's like,
be
some weird animation.
That would be better than Open Road, which is a game.
Yeah, if I was going to rate Open Roads out of 10, I'd probably give it a 5.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
Not
average. Bad.
Yeah, I was really excited for this. I was like, okay, it's from the previous, you know, people from Fulbright. I love an indie game, and this is not it. So, I mean, I'm sure there's good games out there, but I want to play one of these games which is really, really good and gets me involved in the story. Mm. So, hopefully, there'll be another one at some point coming soon.
No, I hope not. Based on this,
not like this, but a good one.
Good one of these. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Have you played Last Stop, Matt?
I did start playing it. I don't know how far I got into it, but when you and James loved
it. Please play it. I just want to see what you're like with the when the guy goes to the video game developers.
Yeah, I wonder how far I got into that. Okay, I'll get downloaded. Yeah,
I did like that game. It was. I mean, the ending is just mind blowing. Matt, please stream it. I'd love for you to
Matt
stream
stop.
It.
Really
work, last Matt.
Matt stop.
Last Matt.
Full stop.
Matt, stop. Please stop.
That's what chat will be saying.
Are you going to play this, Sean?
I mean, based off the discussion we've just had, probably not. Yeah,
come on, Sean. It's only like 3 hours.
No, don't play it. It's not getting anywhere near Game of the Year. I don't know how he got sevens. Mm. Right.
I mean, so I might put this in my... this might be my pick
wild
for
card.
Gotti. Yeah, wild card, yeah. This could be
Can
this year's
talk about
cheer.
How insane Matt was last week? I'm going to talk about the Atari 400 Mini that we were sent.
What did I do last week?
A couple of weeks ago. Right, so here's how it went down. I got sent Atari 400 Mini, which was amazing because I played Atari. They were the first games that I played as a kid.
Yeah, I loved them too.
Did you?
No.
You didn't start playing games. What are you talking about?
No, I had a Commodore 64. Fuck Atari. I mean, no, I don't mean that.
Good man.
And it, what it is, you know, it's like your NES Mini or SNES Mini. It's
sorry, Dave. No, stop. What were you about to say? What, I didn't start playing games until I was like 16 or something? Is that what you're about to say?
I mean, it's what we've been finding out over the course of this podcast.
C64, Master System, Mega Drive.
That you saw an opportunity to create a decent podcast. So you decided then to start playing video games.
No, I had a Commodore 64. Lovely old job.
Yeah, and you like Sega Rally. We remember that.
Play that again today. What a great game.
Atari 500 Mini is like 20 preloaded games, and then you can put USB stick with ROMs in that you own.
Legal
it
backups.
It says that several times throughout the manual. It's really funny. And you could just play Amiga games with a genuine Atari joystick. What games were on it?
I can't remember which ones were preloaded.
Oh, Atari games. Oh, no. Oh, I did a Matt Murray.
Fake fan. Embarrassing. Fake fan. Doesn't know what he's talking about.
So Sean texted me after the video. So I played this with Harry on stream, which was brilliant, actually, because there were genuine like games on there that he was like, no, this is pretty good. And Burger Time being the one that we seem to love the most. Which
Burger Time's stressful as fuck, man.
It's so good. I actually
played that today. It's an arcade.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went to the one. There's an arcade in Stoke, of all places, that I found out about recently. I took Isaac there today. It was all right.
It's so good, man. Like, the Burger Time is just such a classic game. And then we played Pitfall for a bit, and I love a bit of Pitfall. And then I remembered that song, What Do You Do If You Want to Go to Poo in an English Country Garden? You know that one?
Yeah, good song. Yeah.
You pull down your pants and paralyze the ants. Or there's different versions. So
I thought it's pull down your pants and piss on all the ants.
Yeah, there's another one that's
regional
like
regional variants.
Regional variants of that song. But just playing with an Atari stick again is just like fucking great. It like really took me back. But we uploaded the video to YouTube and Sean texted me and said, oh, Matt's just put a load of Amiga hashtags all over it. I don't know what to do about it.
Oh, right. You told me.
Did you not know this? No.
Well, no, because I didn't want to do it in the group. So it's like, Matt, you made a mistake. But I was just like giving Dave a heads up because obviously he was sent the free. So I fixed it.
Okay,
but
cool.
I didn't fix everything, did I? I think, wasn't there something else?
Didn't I have to tell you about the title, Matt? Because the guy that sent it went, why have you called it the Amiga 400?
Yeah, 500, yeah.
Amiga 500.
Well, I just thought, look, if you don't send me the pack, then what's the point?
It's
You don't deserve the pack. You've not been on one of the best retro gaming podcasts out there.
I'm waiting for us all to get our one, but I'm sure it'll come in the post any day now.
Well, we'll see. If you get as big as I am, then maybe you might get sent some free stuff.
I'm as big as you are. Yeah.
I'm not this again. Yeah. I'm as tall as James Farley. No, you're not. Stop fucking lying. Yeah, anyway, that's out. And that was really good fun, just going back and playing all those old games. I mean, yeah, they're all shit. Those games are shit. And, you know, there's some games on there that you just go, holy fuck, what? People were buying this and trying to play it. Like, there was one about, you know, it was like an adventure game. And we walked past a pub and a church and we went on a ship. And then it was like this overhead shot of like this ship in a sea. And you're like, I don't even know where I'm supposed to be going or what I'm supposed to be doing at this point. And when you've got the attention span of a 10-year-old these days, it's like, yeah, next, let's try the next one.
And Harry was playing with you, so...
Don't laugh at that, Sean. Really? You're going to laugh at that? It didn't
that,
work.
Really. Caught me off guard,
I'm not
sorry.
10 years old.
No, no.
I'm
well,
not
said
10,
the
so
you say the intelligence...
Oh,
okay, whatever.
Yeah, you said the...
No, I didn't say the intelligence of a 10-year-old.
No, you said the...
Attention span.
The attention span of a 10-year-old.
There you go.
So the gag
worked. It did work. It did work, yeah. Fuck. Anyway, I've been loving playing Atari 400 games for a little bit as well. It reminds me of being a kid again. And then afterwards, I'll just put it on a shelf and look at it every now and then and go, oh, yeah. An old little old computer there, isn't it? Love all that.
All that mini stuff.
Matt, you Final Fantasy, you got anything else to say about this game? Have you not finished it yet, please?
No, I've not finished it. I've not got nothing to say about it. I'm still playing it. That's it. No update.
Is he? Are you? How many hours are you putting this?
Still on his plate.
I don't know about this week, but I'm 35 hours into it. So
I think he might have said he was 35 hours in last week.
But yeah, I don't know if I have played it since last Monday, actually.
I've got a feeling he's not going to finish it now.
No, you always say this, and I always do. I will do. Just had a busy week.
Kill the Dragon's Dogma, mate. Move on.
I remember when you were banging on and on about that rat game. How much you love that rat game. That rat game is the best thing ever. I can't wait for the sequel
to that rat game.
The
first
rat game
was good, yeah.
And then you just didn't bother playing the second rat game.
No, I was busy.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what you meant.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Plague Tale. That's
yeah, the first one is brilliant. I didn't play the second one because I was going for a lot, actually, David. So
it came out like 3 years ago or something.
Fuck off.
Can't keep saying that.
Yeah, I was going for a lot, so I'm not a bit out of order, actually. Doing that.
Okay. Sean.
Hello. Going to talk a little bit more about Dragon's Dogma 2. Please don't skip forward. I'll be as quick as I can.
No, don't rush. I want to hear more about it.
So after last week,
message in and just go, oh, it was so fucking boring, Sean's bit.
Yeah, but
like,
they went, even though they were all clearly watching the stream, they went to the feedback form to almost as if they're some sort of coward. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, this is actually really good. I quite enjoyed it.
So basically, after last week's discussion, so I hit first credits. But we all saw this coming because the first game did the same thing. Because you kind of, it's like, oh, now you're off to fight the dragon. And you're like, really? It's only been like 20 hours. This game's huge, isn't it? So you sort of know it's not really the ending. But it was very, you know, climactic and good fun and everything. And yeah, and then it's, I think I said in the WhatsApp group, it's a story event happens, and I was like, oh shit, I can't send anyone pictures or clips of funny stuff that happens in the game now, because everything is a spoiler at this point, right? It was just, and I obviously will not go into it any further than that, but it was absolutely like mind blowing.
Whatever that means, that sounds cool to me. The fact that you're like, well, nothing can be shared now because that is going to spoil big things. That's exciting.
That's that always gets me with games.
It's so good,
oh,
man.
Something massive happens.
Yeah, that makes me want to play it because I haven't asked you. Yeah. I don't know what it is. So that makes me want to think, what was it that you can't share a single thing about it?
So then, basically I've finished it, seen the final credits. I will say I don't think it sticks the landing story-wise, certainly not in the way the first game did, because the first game was very weird and complicated, but actually once you you know, pieced it all together. It's like, no, this is actually quite coherent and, you know, satisfying. Like, it's a good end to the story. This was a bit more like, I don't really know what just happened, but okay, I suppose. But, you know, it's about the journey, isn't it? It is a shame that, for me, the story didn't really end satisfyingly, but I was still just thrilled to have played it. And I've gone straight into New Game Plus. Because, you know, last week I was talking about, you know, the weirdness of, like, being able to gift people stuff and get counterfeit versions made and all that shit. Without spoiling anything, so there's a bit partway through the game where you're heading towards something that is going to be like a big moment, and it ends up not really happening. And then it turns out you need this item, right? And that becomes like a big part of the story is going around sorting out getting this one specific item. So I've gone into New Game Plus, and it says like, oh, you start New Game Plus, you'll keep all your stuff apart from like certain story items. Like, right, fair enough. I've kept that item, right? Mm. So now I'm like, what happens then when I get to that same bit? So I really at least want to play up to that bit and see if that plays out differently, because I've already got the thing. And again, equally, it's like when I've, you know, if I've borrowed someone's pawn and I'm sending them away, and it's like, oh, do you want to give him a gift? That item's there in the list. I could just give that away to someone else.
I can hear James Farley chuckling yeah. from China.
So I'm now sort of intrigued like by that stuff now that I'm in New Game Plus. I'm not really bothered about my own progress. So now I'm enjoying like hiring people's pawns and then just like buying them all like high level gear and then sending them back again. And go, there you go. They've now got top of the line armor and stuff, which I don't think would like spoil the game for anyone. They can just sell it if they want, I suppose, and just have the money.
What's this story about that people creating very scantily clad?
Oh yes. Yeah, I heard about
people
it today.
Buy and then clothing them and sending them back.
Yeah,
and
so basically
just selling the clothes.
Yeah, so if you've got a really high level pawn and you know make it wear very embarrassing clothes, there are some armor sets in the game that are just like bit skeezy. But then so there was one bit of the game where I was wearing like, what were they? I think they were like stockings, but then there was like no pants to go with them, but they were genuinely the highest stat like legwear I had at the time.
And that's what you told.
That's what you told New. There was reasons.
Yeah. but yeah, so basically people were creating pawns that had, yeah, really scantily clad. But like they were really high level, so other people would want to hire them, but then be like, yeah, just put on some proper armor though, which then gifts that armor to the pawn's owner. So when they send the pawn back, it's like, oh yeah, now they're wearing all this new shit if you want to keep it. So yeah, so you could then keep that stuff and then sell it or whatever. Nice little earner. Weird game.
It's a weird game.
But I like
you have like three, four pawns, right? And if you finish the game, they've seen tons of the missions. So then if those pawns then go to other people's games, they're like, well, I've done all the missions. Like, does that massively help other players?
Yes, it does. So you have your main pawn and then you hire another two who are other people's pawns. But yeah, so at this point, like, my pawn has seen all the main story missions and plenty of the side ones too. So if you ever hire my guy, it'll just, yeah, like most quests you'll start and it'll just be like, yep, it's this way, follow me.
Okay. And then that same pawn will now be seeing New Game Plus, or is that, have you had to create a different one?
No, yeah,
you
keep the same one. Yeah, and it carries through. Well, allegedly, we don't know yet, but we think starting New Game Plus is what makes your pawn contagious with this dragon's plague thing, which is hilarious. But no one knows.
Is that for certain, or is that still like the community trying to work out what?
I think that's still a theory. Yeah, but I'm not sure.
So all them people, even like 2 or 3 weeks ago, were in New Game Plus because they just hammered through it, and they're the ones.
Well, yeah,
that
they were causing entire towns to die. Yeah, spoilers. The worry was that, yeah, like as more people finish the game, it's like, shit, there's gonna be loads of infected pawns around. But yeah, good game.
So you're gonna keep playing it, get through the mission, and then see
I still want to reach this one particular point in the story, see if that plays out any differently. There's still one of the vocations, which is basically the classes that I want to get as well, called the Warfarer, because it's all the other classes in one.
Oh, great.
Which sounds absolutely insane. You basically, whichever class you're using, you have the four face buttons, you set them, like a set different abilities to them, right? basically the warfare is like the top button is always switched to the next class. So you can so you could have like the weapons for sort of two or three classes equipped, and then it would cycle through those classes. So you could use the abilities from one, switch, use the abilities from another, switch again. Apparently it's fucking nuts. So yeah, I'm quite intrigued to try that as well. But yeah.
Cool.
Couple of short ones. I've been playing Bulwark. I said this when I played the demo about 6 months ago. How do you pronounce Bulwark?
Bulwark.
Colon, The Falconeer Chronicles. I played a bit of The Falconeer when I first got my Series S, because it was kind of a, like, it launched on Game Pass and it was one of the first like SNX enhanced games. I didn't love it. It was like a semi-fantasy sort of flight sim, but where you were on like a massive bird, and it's like the world's been like flooded, and there's just these like, you know, few sort of islands dotted around, and so everyone used these giant birds as transport and stuff. It was okay, didn't really get into it. This is technically a sequel to that, but it's a city builder. It's like, oh, the war's over now and everything's fucked, but we're rebuilding. I've only played about 30-odd minutes of the full game, but it's really nice. It's like, it's just really lovely that it's a city builder, and like there's some resource management, but really not a lot. It's very much like, look, if you've got like there's like a little forest here, like build a thing next to it. Everything within a certain range now has wood, right? Or there'll be like a mine. It's like, right, now everything's got iron. No, Dave, I had enough last week with the pawn stuff.
I'm sorry, Sean. I've got what?
Everything around here has now got wood. All right. I'd like to think that James is somewhere.
He's just passed out.
He passed out.
He's just passed out.
And it's just like, so it's made by a solo dev called Tomas Sala, he's a great follow on Twitter. He just seems really knowledgeable about game dev and the industry in general. He's well worth listening to. But he does the tutorials, right? When you first load up the main menu, he's like, hey, I'm Tomas, I made this. Here's where you should probably start, and just talks you through.
Like David Cage did in Fahrenheit.
Yes, but this time in a good game. Yeah, it's just really cool how
shagging. Except for the shagging.
Yeah.
sorry, Sean.
It's all right.
Completely.
It's just really nice that it's this city builder where, if you want, you can just fucking click around at random and the game just procedurally generates all the buildings, right? Obviously, it's better if you have somewhat of a system in mind, but you basically, all you're doing is you're placing these towers and it automatically builds bridges between them. And it's like, if there's like a supply of workers and, you know, other, you know, supplies like materials and stuff, then people will automatically build their houses on these bridges, and that's how your town grows and your infrastructure improves and stuff. And it's just great. You'll spend 20, 30 minutes on it just being like, okay, I'm kind of linking this stuff up. I'm building these towers up. I'm adding, like, you know, supports and bridges and da, da, da. And then after a bit, you're like, fuck, this looks incredible. And you'll just go into photo mode and just do like a little fly through. And it's like, this is stunning. And it was just me clicking around for a bit. It's really good. Really love it.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Even watching the trailer, it looks really, really nice.
Mm, yeah. Lovely game. The other one I put a bit of time into is Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, landed on Game Pass.
I was so tempted to downloading this.
Tempted to download
this week.
Yep.
Tempted to download it.
Yeah, because I was so tempted to downloading. No, I was so tempted to download this.
There you go.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
That's a bit.
but the problem I had was that we downloaded TK. Was it fucking Lego 2K or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And that was fucking great, and we barely played it. So I was like, well, I'm not going to download another one of these, even though they are vastly different. Mm. Like, I'm not going to download another one of these just to sit on my hard drive, but should I have?
It's good. It's really good. It's one of those that you sort of like, could this have been like a big update to the original? Maybe.
Right.
But it does fix like all my key issues with the first one, namely discoverability of like the best skins for the cars was really bad in the first game. First game got way too difficult, even on easy. Like you would reach a point where like the AI was still rubbish, but then you were doing like time trial levels where the target times were the same no matter what. Like you only set the difficulty of the AI races, right? You didn't set the difficulty of the game at large. This seems much more attainable. Like I've had it on easy because I've been playing with Isaac. I could probably do medium because I'm, you know,
really pro,
it's quite skilled. but yeah, so far the difficulty's been much more manageable. And the first game, it felt like, you know, it was like obviously a lot of the levels were, it's like a Hot Wheels track, but it's in like a room, right? Or it's like a workshop or a garage or an arcade or whatever. But it didn't really feel like it used that as much as it could. It was very much like, yeah, you're in a room, but you're on a orange plastic Hot Wheels track for most of it. This feels like it engages more with the environments themselves, which is cool. Yeah, it's good. It's I don't know why I didn't buy this when it came out, because I probably should have, but I was thrilled that it's come to
Game Pass.
It's
not been out long, though, is it?
I think it was like late last year, so I think it's been out like 6 months now or something.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's great. It's still a really good arcade racer. I mean, yeah, we really like Hot Wheels stuff anyway, so it's, to me, it's really fun, like, collecting the cars and, like, spotting ones that we have in real life. Like, even Isaac, like, remembers the names and stuff now. So, yeah, stuff like that is really cool. Yeah, it's well worth a look. I mean, it's still...
I assume you're into all the YouTube stuff with Hot Wheels.
Do you know when we haven't been, actually? Not for a long time.
Oh,
it was
really?
when Isaac was really little, we used to watch a fair bit of that stuff, but I don't know. I think now...
Like,
go on, sorry.
A dude in his garage with like loads of, he's like an old guy in his garage, and he had his son, and his son's friend used to come over. And but I say son, they were like early teens, I think,
yeah.
or mid teens. I just think, what a life. This is all they do in their garage, is they put little GoPros onto Hot Wheels cars and make them go in loops.
Just send them around track. Yeah. It's all
yeah.
right.
What a fucking life.
Yeah.
So this sounds good then, because I mean, I did play the first one. I didn't get on with it too well because I played it on Switch, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So it looked like shit.
Mm. I mean, this one, the first one looked great on Xbox. This one looks marginally better.
Right.
Yeah. And it's still got all the cool touches. Like at the end of a race, like the cars will like not only be like scuffed up, but there'll be like fingerprints on them.
Is this
implying that in real life, no, this is actually like someone just going. they've added, so like you can jump now, right? So now there are tracks where obviously there'll be ramps that you can go off, but then sometimes there'll just be obstacles you have to jump over, and you can like boost like side to side as well to like bash other cars, which is fine. Yeah, it's good. Well worth a look for the cost of Nout.
How much is the Hot Wheels company worth? What do you reckon? It's Mattel, wasn't it?
I was going to say, it's owned by Mattel, isn't it? Yeah.
Generating gross sales amounting to more than $1.43 billion globally. Wow. They sell a lot of those little fucking cars, don't they?
They do.
Yeah,
and
I've never
got micro machines keep struggling to come back. British.
Yeah.
I didn't buy either, but I did have some micro machines, and they were more interesting than Hot Wheels to me.
Whoa. No, mate.
And the games were better.
Hot Wheels are the one. Honestly, the kids that we've got boxes and boxes and boxes of Hot Wheels, because you go out, they're £1.50.
Yeah, mate.
You know, or back when Harry was a kid, they were £1.
I think they're £1.80 now. But yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking Tories.
I mean, it's still in that realm of like,
they've done to
why
my country.
Not, but, you know.
Yeah, it used to be, we just go shopping and we just, can I have a Hot Wheels car? Of course you can, it's £1, whatever.
Yeah.
It's what we put into our trolleys to make it work.
Yeah.
until we found out that you just stick your car key in there and it does the same thing.
Can you not get these in one, like kind of blind bag style things? That feels like it's made for it.
No, fuck
no,
that.
I'm really glad they don't.
I know it's
do
not what
shit,
we want, but that feels like match
There's
right in heaven, doesn't it?
The colour change ones. So they're just in a like a cylinder, and you can't see what's in them.
Oh, okay, so
and then then you wash them, and then they have
What? Who wants that?
Yeah, no, it's really annoying because so often you'll buy them, and it's like, well, these cars are rubbish. Don't really like these at all.
But can we at least admit the Micro Machine, the Micro Machine games were better than Hot Wheels games?
The Hot Wheels games on the Mega Drive. Until the first Hot Wheels Unleashed, Hot Wheels games have been fucking atrocious. It's been absolutely criminal how bad they always were. So yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Micro Machines win on that.
Micro Machines on Mega Drive, oh man, so good.
Yeah, man.
It does feel like you should be able to bring out an old school Micro Machines. Why is there not a Micro Machines Battle Royale game?
God, yeah.
Yeah, because they proved it could work in Mashed Fully Loaded on Xbox.
No, but like that's the whole idea with Micro Machines was it was about knocking people out. It wasn't about winning races.
Mm. Yeah, about them hitting the back of the screen, wasn't it, basically?
There must be a way of getting 100 players on Micro Machines. That's got to be a thing.
Mm. Yeah, that would be class.
I got my brother, my brother's birthday was in January, and I got him a book, which is basically just loads of really beautiful photographs of Micro Machines cars. It's really nice. I forget the publisher, but they do a lot of video game stuff. And we were just flipping through it, like, man, these are fucking sick. Why aren't these? I mean, like the people, like I say, they've Micro Machines haven't gone away. They still exist, but
really?
Just for some reason, yeah. I forget they've changed hands a few times, but they've just never come back in the way Hot Wheels seems to have. It's really strange.
All right, and that's what we've been playing this week. Should we get onto questions? Because this is going to be a short show by the looks of it.
Bloody hell. I said it couldn't be done.
No, it's because we haven't got James here going on and on.
Yeah, dragging the show towards 2 hours. Get over it, mate. Jesus. Got homes to go to.
Oh, you don't get it. In Germany, it's different, David. All right, well, this is a half an hour discussion. Nice one. Come on, James.
Yeah, I want to record longer. No, James, we want to go to bed.
If you want to send us a question, go to tcgs.co/DearTCGS. Mock Turtle Soup says, evening, boys, girls, and anything else. As Matt is working his way through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, what does he think are the strongest and weakest parts of the game up to where he is currently? Same place he was at last week. I'm on chapter 9, and my main criticism so far is based around my borderline irrational hatred of the Queen's Blood minigame. Most in-game card games can be ignored, e.g. Gwent in Witcher 3, Caravan in Fallout New Vegas, and Triple Triad in Final Fantasy VIII. However, Rebirth seems to be making an effort to railroad players into playing it, which makes it feel like less of an optional extra and more like some senior dev had an idea and wanted it putting in the game. Not a fan. Love and hugs, Mock Turtle Soup.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like this game, then you're going to be in trouble because there are story elements. I played, I mean, I'm sure it's this week, but maybe it wasn't this. Well, no, I'm sure it's in the last 7 days, but maybe it wasn't. But yeah, I had a game in this place called the Crow's Nest, and there's an actual kind of cutscene after playing some Queen's Blood Queen's Blood match. So yeah, they're definitely trying to make it more of a story thing than just an optional extra. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, what's not to like? I think the game's great. The more like cards I'm getting, the more decks I'm opening up. It's just great fun. So yeah, if you don't like that, then that might be an issue. I mean, in terms of like my main criticism, I mean, I like all the kind of busy work, but what I could see maybe is that maybe after a fair few more hours, I would be like, actually, I just want to get onto the story. But that's a me thing. That's not the game. I mean, I like the fact the game's got loads of things to do. I'm just right now making sure I do everything before moving on to the next area.
No. Say something negative about the game, Matt.
I haven't really got anything negative to say about the game, really. I mean, I feel like I've barely touched it, even though I'm like 30-odd hours in. I mean, I'm enjoying all of it. I have nothing negative to say right now. But
too long.
it's not too long. I just haven't found enough time to play it. But no, there's nothing negative. Nothing negative for the game for me so far. Looks gorgeous, plays gorgeous. Love the music. I mean, I'm playing performance mode. It could definitely be better, but I don't know. I mean, I will say, kind of, I guess
he loves
graphics.
The drop frame. I just love the drop frame.
I guess graphics are a little bit blurry. It's a little bit blurry in performance mode. They did add like an extra mode, or they might have like, I think they added a third graphics mode, but yeah, I mean, doesn't really seem too different. And yeah, I guess it's a little bit blurry.
I mean, I should say, like, I've been singing the praises of Dragon's Dogma 2 for 2 weeks straight, so I'm, you know, people in glass houses and all that.
Oh yeah, hasn't that got about 3 frames per second?
Well, they've had an option to turn off the ray tracing, which improves things.
Turn off the ray tracing, great.
Yeah. So
that's what they promised us, isn't it? Start a generation.
Yeah.
You can turn off the ray tracing in future.
That's
shit,
better without. It doesn't really help all that much, to be honest.
Okay.
But yeah, well, I mean, strongest I just love all the characters, and I'm excited to see more. But yeah, but if you don't,
I don't know. Based on the amount of time I put into that first one, how can you
love? You just don't like it, Dave.
Characters?
That's fine. I love it.
The characters, though, Matt. The characters.
I'm bought into what they're about. Like they're not for everyone.
About anything. They're the most two-dimensional fucking characters I've ever seen in a game.
Well, two-dimensional as a mother in Open Roads.
Good point. I saw a clip of like a kid skipping past. Is it Brock, the guy with the arm gun?
Barrett.
Yeah. I saw a kid skipping past him and going ah la 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 la, and he was like, and I was like, oh fuck, this just reminds me of how much I fucking
because he's
these
away
characters.
From his daughter, David. That's why he's annoyed.
Yeah. His contact.
Yeah, that's why he's angry.
He's like, oh, the other children are happy.
Also, the game, I don't understand about the blurry graphics, but like in some of the cutscenes, it looks absolutely stunning, and the summons and the battles are great. Oh man, how could you? What is wrong with you? Don't like this game, David?
Okay.
Maria Mendieta says, "Dear TCGS countrymen of Donkey Kong, revisiting Super Mario World this week, I have some questions about what many consider the best platformer. Specifically, from a game design standpoint, what is the point of having invisible doors, the game's ghost houses, or those that loop you back to a previous screen? It's certainly frustrating, but as game critics, I wonder if you could explain the gameplay merits of this decision. Keep up the brilliant work. Sincerely, Maria."
Yeah, I mean, back then, it was about keeping people on their toes and surprising them, right?
Is it literally just... because they want you to go through one of those doors and think, oh, what's, is this going to be a good one or a bad one?
What Super Mario did was incredible. The whole running over the top of the screen and then dropping down those pipes. When you think back to them doing that, you go, holy shit, what genius come up with that? You know, the whole, hey, you know, you can skip to like World 4 if you do this. Like, that, to me, still gets me excited. Mm. Like, the idea of it still gets me excited that we've had platformers before that, but this one, it's, no, you can run on the screen. Really? It looks broken, like it's glitching out. No, that's how you get to, if you do that, you go to World 4. It's like, what? And I think, certainly by the time they got to Super Mario World, there was an element of, let's design shit that makes people talk. No, don't go through that. No, don't go through that door, because that sends you back to the start of the game. So avoid that door. And, you know, it's that whole playground chatter stuff. Mm. And that's, nothing makes me more nostalgic than that shit. That whole turning up the next day at school and talking about shit that worked and that didn't. I'll never forget the year after Ocarina of Time come out. The first 3 months, we all got it for Christmas. First 3 months, you were turning up at school every day. What were you up to? What are you doing? Yeah, but have you heard, if you get the chickens and then you chat, they all attack you? And then you go home and you're like, all you're sitting there for the whole of the rest of the day, you're going, I've got to go and fucking throw those chickens, man, to see if he's lying. And then you throw the chickens, they attack you. You're like, holy fucking shit, man. And you go in the next day and you're like, yeah, they did it to me. It's like, honestly, that side of things. Mm. I love that, and I think no one was better than Nintendo than creating that shit. And although, yeah, there's a lot of frustration around secrets that lead to nowhere or things that fuck you over, whatever. But that was part of it to some extent, which is probably being generous. Like, I'm probably being overly generous there, but that's certainly how it was received. At the time, it was never received as, oh, fuck you. Mm. It was more just like, right, oh, write this down, and oh, I've got to tell such
and like
and, such.
And things like the ambiguity of something like a ghost door that could lead you wherever. That's enough scope for people to just make shit up as well. That's the
the sort of like the generous side of me is going, no, they knew what they were doing. Mm. I think there's part of me that's going, no, they were just trying to prolong the game a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was trying to, you know, make it a little bit, you know, harder for you without putting much effort in. Mm-hmm. But it was certainly received the former rather than the latter at the time.
Last
good
question.
Games, Nintendo, isn't it?
Yeah, they do some good games. They should keep that up.
Yeah, they should release
up,
more.
Keep up and doodling.
Yeah, yeah. Last question comes from MD Krabuffs. He says, the true crime geezer squad, how would you do a big theft?
Good question.
I wouldn't reveal it on a podcast, I'll tell you that much, mate. But if I, but
just
if, you
give
know,
us one of your lesser schemes, Matt.
Yeah. If we were doing a heist, who would be the computer guy?
It'd be James.
It'd be the one.
Who would be the man computer in the chair? Guy?
James, James loves the man looking in the chair. Stuff up when he's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, but James. But like, you'd be like, you go quick, James. Where do I go now? And he'll go. Did you see when he was the man in the chair when we played that Operation Tango?
Oh, that's
Tango?
True. Yeah, that'd
yeah. There's
well
no
well.
Chance.
Go up. Go up.
Also, if James up? Like laughs, he'll space. Pass out in the chair. I mean, like, no,
there's
James.
Funny happens.
James, James, the getaway
see,
car.
I see James as the guy that gets dressed up. He's the costume guy.
Do you reckon? And then, master like, of you, disguise.
Well, yeah, when you, yeah, he's the one where we walk through. I mean, I reckon.
What's
Matt's
he's like Ethan Hunt in like Mission Impossible with like fake masks?
I think Matt might be in the chair.
No, it's boring as fuck. I want to shoot
yeah,
stuff.
But have you seen the picture of your desk? You've got about 40 monitors all lined up.
Good point. Can
and
I
just,
I've
got.
Can I not be the getaway driver?
No, you can't be the getaway driver.
What? That's the bit I want to
no,
do.
You're the man in the chair.
No, that's boring.
I can see me and Sean tiptoeing across like a really polished marble floor somewhere.
Gotcha.
And looking over. And James is in a security outfit winking at us. Do you know what I mean? That's the image I've got in my head, that bit.
I don't want to be in a boring chair. Well, you guys get over the fun. I'm just like back at HQ. Like,
it's fun in a
I'm
way.
I'm uploading this stuff to the mainframe.
Yeah, but hold on. My chair would be an office chair that I've stolen from work, a crappy little Amazon desk, and a single monitor with a Wi-Fi dongle sticking out the side of it. Like, that's not interesting. That's not cool. You need all of the like the big monitors and the gaming chair and the green screen. You could put the green screen up again, Matt, and you could be anywhere you wanted.
Good point. No, I want to do a getaway drive. Can I do both? Can
you're
I do
not the getaway? No, you're God. The man in the chair.
Can I do like the laptop in the getaway car?
No,
that's dangerous.
Ooh.
Well, no, because I'm like I'm in the car, like doing this stuff, and then like, okay, let's go. No,
I mean, I don't know if you can be a getaway driver if you don't know what a car sounds like, man.
I let the car do the talking, Sean. I'm not an impressionist. I'm a driver.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to do the. If you're the getaway driver, you can't let the car do the talking.
Yeah.
You can't just stop.
And then my driving do the talking.
Well, that's not what you said initially.
He'll
though.
Turn up wearing fucking Ryan Gosling's jacket from Driver.
Yeah, well, it's a cross between that and Baby Driver. So not saying anything, but wearing a sick jacket.
I think Matt's got to be in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah.
Can I fire a gun?
No.
Oh,
guns.
What? I'm not doing all any of the fun shit. I'm just on the computer.
Computers are fun, they used to be. Not anymore.
I don't get to fire a gun, don't get to drive a car. What do I get to do? Go on
Sean's
Internet
the
Explorer.
Sensible one. Sean's the sensible one. Mm. I'm the wild nut. He's just shooting everyone that he comes across. Why did you do that? And I'm like, shut up, it got the job done.
Bang. We're Kane and Lynch, basically, is that what you're saying?
No, they were both mass murderers, weren't they?
No, I think Lynch was worse. I think both bad people. But Lynch was like, let's not mow down innocent civilians, please.
Both bad people in bad games. I played through number two all the way that game. It was that was a weird sentence.
Strange.
That,
can I do like a big stunt?
Absolutely not.
Oh, what?
No.
This is rubbish. What's the point of doing
biggest,
a big theft if I'm not doing
money
any cool
at
shit?
The end, presumably.
The biggest,
boring, though. I want the action.
Yeah, that's never made clear, is it? Because they're always like being dicked about by the real heroes. Matt, you could do the biggest stunt you could do is you could flick the finger.
What?
You could flick a pen around your fingers like in Goldeneye, the chair guy in Goldeneye. Click. You do that.
Boring.
Yeah, click it a couple of times. Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, and I was going to do like a thing like in Casino Royale where like the bad guy wipes his kind of bleeding tear duct, but I'll be a good guy.
But you're
so
not
going to
be anywhere near any blood.
Oh my God!
Unless you get like
this
a paper cut or something.
This is the most boring theft of all time.
You will literally be in bed by 10:30.
Can I? Is it like a big drill I can put into a bank vault?
Nope.
No, we'll do that.
You're not near a bank vault.
Yeah. Is the
we'll
point? I'm literally
if
on
want,
my Windows
you can have
laptop.
Your own bank vault in your computer room.
Computer room. You lot are doing the big boy shit, and I'm just
Sean
like,
will
yeah.
be doing the drilling. Yeah, Sean will be doing time. The drilling. I'll just be shooting people as they're coming in, you know, or the, come on, fuck it, what's the matter with you? Like shouting at Sean, just like, hurry this up. I can't hold him up for much longer. Oh, actually, I probably can. Bang, bang, bang.
And then I'll say
dead.
Something like, do you want it doing quick or doing properly? You'll smell like, you know,
and, I'll
something,
just,
something
and then I'll
witty.
Pistol whip him.
While I'll go, on the computer clicking
I'll go,
upload.
Can you order the pizzas, please, for when we get back?
Why am I the admin guy even in a big theft situation?
Because you're not in any danger.
Yeah, but I want to be in danger. It's boring otherwise.
Matt, quick, we need to leave. Can you order a new costume for James to be delivered to the bank?
Amazon Prime says it'll be 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm on the Smithy's website now. What have we got? Rubbish.
This is good. This is all.
No, this is rubbish.
No, it's great.
I want to be. I can have an exciting part. Can I not be the person who fires a glass arrow, an ice arrow into someone, and it kills them and it melts?
I don't think they're real, are they?
Well, no, maybe, I was thinking, yeah, perfect murder weapon.
Which is why he's the computer guy. That's why he's the computer. That's why he's in PC
I'm just
world.
A computer nerd.
Yeah, he's just a computer nerd.
No,
how did you this. See this going any other way?
I thought I'd be the one like Neo in the Matrix.
I don't think you've got it in you, Matt.
I could have it in me.
That's
the episode title.
Can that be the episode title?
No. I think I should be allowed to do cool shit in this bank vault, not just computer man.
In the bank vault.
Computers are cool, Matt.
I'm bored.
The way you doing?
Can we switch? This is like in FIFA. Like, can't I be a striker?
Who do you want to switch with?
So you're doing the shooting, David. James is dressed up like a janitor.
If Matt's not going to be the guy in the chair, then it's presumably James would be up for it.
Yeah, but he's James. We've said this. That'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, true.
He wouldn't pay attention. No. We'd be ringing him up. Did you see an empty chair? The webcam is an empty chair. He's in China again.
Plus, obviously, we can't help being hilarious, so he would have a coughing fit and pass out.
Yeah. I just want to do like a big stunt or fire a gun or drive a car.
We'll let you twizzle around in your chair once or twice. But not too much because you get dizzy.
What you can do, Matt, is you sit in your swivel chair, right? You hold a pistol and you shoot it sideways and it'll make you spin round.
Yeah, make you spin round a little bit.
Yeah, straight
but
through
actually,
the monitor.
Only do that once because it'll go through the monitor and we can't have you doing that because we need you to order the...
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do my own bank heist, actually.
Okay.
With who?
Kane and Rince. So it's there's 42 of us.
Yeah.
42 of us outside HSBC. Other banks are available.
You've got 40 chair people there. That's all you've got. You've got 40 people in the chair.
40 people firing handguns to spin round.
Who's going to be doing the actual work?
I'm going to be in the cool shit and they're in the computer chairs.
No, you're not, Matt. No, you're not.
I will, because I'll be leading that one.
Was that right? So if it was the other way around and Matt was breaking his, he's broken his wrist again, has he? Okay.
No, because it's metal now, so if anything, it's more reinforced.
That's his superpower.
Yeah. They could fire a gun at that and that wouldn't feel it.
Actually, you should have gotten to install a gun in your wrist when they did the operation.
You're going to set the detectors off.
Oh, that's
no. I don't think it will, actually. Suspicion. I was asking that. Like, would it go off in an airport? And they're like, no, I don't think it will.
I don't think it will.
You'll find out
great,
one day.
Wouldn't it?
See you in
that'd
prison.
That'd be great if it happens. And they're like, with a little,
and that's
a little
it.
Wand.
And that's it for the podcast this week.
Yeah. I had another 45 minutes on that.
Do you want to go to socials?
Yes. Are you streaming this week, Sean?
And I'm going out on Thursday. Oh, mind you, Friday's free, I suppose. No, I'm all right.
Going?
Well, I'm going to
Clubland.
Seeing my friends, actually.
Hold
on.
Gary's up for the week.
You're going out with me, so I'm...
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not me.
Gary, so I'm going to Arcade Club with Gary and Chris.
Is he... I'm going to an arcade with my friends. Yeah. We're going to drink.
Oh, I'm in there today, Arcade Club.
Well, I'm going to a different one. I'm going to the bigger one, so...
Well, the one in Bury.
Yeah, mate, it's a lovely town.
Yeah, I still don't know where we're going to do our TCGS con this year.
God,
maybe we just do a live show somewhere just one night. It's getting
well, that's what we're trying to find a venue for.
Yeah,
that
we can't even manage that. That's the problem.
Because the brief we've given into our tour manager is we want a full day on a Saturday.
Is it? I thought we were just trying to do a show.
Because we said we were going to start early, didn't we? And it was going to be a Saturday. I think if we shifted it to like a Wednesday night, we'd be loving. Like, right. We'd be laughing.
Mm. Would be cheaper. Okay, as well,
so maybe offline.
And we will not be passing those savings on to the listeners.
No, go up if anything.
Yeah. Twice the price.
Yep. Not take time off work.
Yeah, Spreadshirt are doing our financials. Okay, so maybe no streams, or maybe a stream, who knows? Either way, go to twitch.tv/tcgsco and you can follow us.
It's definitely going to be a stream on Friday night, isn't there?
Yeah, so, yeah, oh, so yes, we're so doing it's... Friday. Yeah, that's going to be our birthday stream, whatever that is.
Yeah. Okay, Friday night, twitch.tv.
Maybe Matt's not involved in the heist at all. Maybe he's not even in the chair. True, this is ridiculous.
Oh, what? But I'm good at computers.
You've clearly been drinking since 2 o'clock.
I haven't.
Okay.
I need to watch Ocean's convinced. 11 now.
Okay.
It's great fun.
Right. Follow us on Twitch, and then, yeah, Friday night for 9, we'll do a stream to celebrate our 8th birthday. Can you believe it? We're 8 years old, or we will be on Saturday, and even though this thing's on Friday. If you miss our streams when we go live, you can watch them on YouTube. Search for TCGS on YouTube, and you can watch all the VODs of the various streams. We're on Patreon, which is patreon.com/TCGS, to get a monthly bonus podcast. I'm still getting nice feedback from that, so thank you if you message me. I really appreciate that. And also, yeah, the Warcraft mini golf stream, which is well worth watching with Ian Lee. And the website's tcgs.co for links to our store, to get the James Farley t-shirt, our podcast, our socials, our amazing Discord community, and all other bits.
We will catch you next week. Thank you so much for living it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Ta-ra.